golfer was out golfing and he approached a particularly difficult hole where there was water. This would be me, totally. Water out in front of him, water to one side, and then a big old marsh on the other side. And he thought to himself, I don't know if I should use my new ball or I should grab one of the beater balls out of the bag real quick. And so he hears a voice from heaven saying, use the new ball. Kind of looked around and thought, okay. And so he tees his new ball up and gets ready. And then he hears the same voice going, take a practice swing. Looks around. He still doesn't see anybody. He's like, okay. Takes a practice swing. Then he hears the same voice say, you might want to go get the old ball. See, it didn't work this service either. Y'all have to visualize, like, I don't know what this golf thing is. Obviously, he observed his practice swing. Never mind. Somebody explain it to the people that don't get it. I want to talk about not knowing the will of God. I'll talk about that for a few moments, but I want to talk about doing the will of God. You want a life hack? Stop doing it your way. We should just pray and dismiss right now. That was perfect. That's the whole sermon. Stop doing it your way. Do it God's way. I know what God's saying in his word, but I need to do the word of God. I want to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Listen to what he says in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I have been a Christian for a long time. I've asked the same questions, but I've surveyed Christians as well. And if you wanted to know one thing from God, what is it? And most people would say, I want to know God's will for my life. I want to know God's will. How many want to know God's will? Well, I got news for you today. God's will for your life, it's all through the Word of God. And we're going to discover that doing it is better than knowing. I want to do the will of God. It's not about when it comes to the will of God, we typically assign the will of God to what, you know, where am I going to buy the next house? What's my next job? It's good to involve God in on all that stuff. Please pray about all that stuff. Everything pray. You're asking God, Lord, I need your will. What job should I take? Whether I should take, you know, should I move to Alpine? Should I move to Lancaster? Lord, what's your will for my life? That's a great thing. But it's not so much about where you're going to be living. It's about who you are when you get there. The condition of your heart when you get there. It's kind of like, it's not about what church. Well, I'm going to find a better church. Well, when you get there, you're going to be there. It's about your heart condition. It's not about changing locations, right? It's not about changing jobs, not about changing marriages. It's about changing my heart. It's about looking at this and saying, I know to do good and I'm not doing the things. That's a heart change that needs to happen. When we know what we should be doing and we're not doing it, something's not going on right here. We know it, but it's not happening here. Are you hearing me today? James says, and he gives some warnings here. The first group, two groups of people he really warns. The first group is a group of people that you can see it in the scriptures here. He's warning them, people that just don't take God with them anywhere they go. They don't involve God in their journey. They don't involve God in their business. You can read it. They have arrogant schemes, it says. They got all these plans, but God's not involved in any of those things. Underneath the surface, James's complaint about those people is that they just don't tend to include God or invite him into their scenario. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do on their time schedule. They spend their money on what they want to spend their money on, never considering God. But as we just discovered, our theme is Jesus first. Right? What's our theme? Yeah. So we should at least consider God in our decision making. Jesus is warning these people who leave God out of their lives that they don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Any of you ever woken up on a particular day and some events happened that completely shifted your world? Hello, September 11th. It didn't shift the world. It shocked the world. Sent us into it shifted us into ways that we will never be the same as we were the day before. Those kinds of things happen all the time. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And yet you have all these plans. Is it okay to have plans? Is it okay to make plans? This is the audience participation portion of the show. Is it okay to make plans? Yeah, absolutely. But is it okay to make plans and then exclude God from my plans? No, I want to invite God into my plans. In the heart, we can make plans, but it's the Lord that establishes our steps. He talks about it being arrogant. The writer of Proverbs says it this way, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't even know what that day's going to bring. Well, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to... You don't even know you're going to wake up tomorrow. Deal with today. Talk about today. Be obedient to God today. Well, I'll follow God's will tomorrow. No, you won't. Do it today. Do it right now. It's a practice. It's an exercise. It's a delight to follow God's ways. James says that these people who leave God out of their lives, they boast about those arrogant schemes. To be arrogant is to have like an exaggerated sense of one's own self-worth. Look at me. I got my own ways of doing things. Arrogant people feel like they're superior in their ideas. Arrogant people are overbearing usually. For a person to be arrogant about their plans, it's to exaggerate the importance of those plans. My plans are the only plans. Anybody here like that? You're the perfect picture person. You have a plan in your heart and then somebody messes it up and it wigs you out for a month. Okay, I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about me. We're both a lot like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have it all set up. And then someone comes in and has a different idea or does it a different way. You're like, we can make plans. We can establish plans. I can think I have the greatest plan ever, but I guarantee you my wife's got some pretty good ideas. I ought to allow her in. I guarantee the Holy Spirit, I'm not equating you to the Holy Spirit, by the way. The Holy Spirit's got some good ideas. We've got to allow Him in to speak to our hearts. I want to not just know God's will. I want to do God's will. And it's arrogance to run around thinking that my plans are the only plans. And then that my plans even supersede your plans. There's an arrogance to that. There's an overbearingness to that. There's an old saying that says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Hey, you can make plans, but trust that the Lord's establishing your steps. I took my wife, I've been on a million missions trips, it seems like. I took my wife to China on her very first missions trip. Now, this is going to be a really challenging missions trip because how many of you have been on a missions trip before? How many realize that it doesn't work the same way overseas as it does here? Nothing. Stop signs don't even work. There's suggestions. Nothing overseas works like it works here. It doesn't. You can go to Tijuana and find that out. You don't have to go very far. It all is different. And so my wife, being a planner like she is, she likes to, you know, what's the plan? What's the schedule? You know, she's like any of the rest of us. You go to something, you even go to a kids event, you want to get a program so you know when it's almost over. You want the schedule. We're all like that. Don't lie. Every one of you, even you parents. Man, we got three more songs. So I let my wife know, listen, honey, we're going to China. It's a long trip. We're going to be a long way away from home. Things aren't going to necessarily go. So we're going to have plans, but sometimes the plans don't work out that way. So I want you to know that you're just going to have to be flexible. So I gave her a rubber band, a big rubber band, and I put it on her wrist. I said, every time that you feel stretched a little bit because the plans have changed, so just kind of pull on that rubber band just as a reminder. And this was just kind of fun. We were having fun with it. I didn't actually think she was going to do it, you know. I just wanted her to know that, like, things are going to change. 3 days into it, she snapped the rubber band. That's how stretched she was. Was it 3 days or was it two? 3 days? Say three, that's better. 5 minutes in, she snapped the rubber band. No. No, blessed are the flexible because they won't be broken. You see, the deal is, James says, there's this kind of thinking that's evil in a sense that it's inappropriate, if you will, if you think this way, that my schemes are, what is your life anyway? But a mist and a vapor. That's what James is saying. I love James. Doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's like, oh, you got all these schemes. What is your life? Just a mist and a vapor. I know this isn't the right time of the year for this illustration, but on any given morning soon, you'll be able to walk outside and go, and see your breath. Some of you might be able to do that today. I don't know, but we got other issues. But what is your life? It's that. A mist that appears for a moment in a vapor. Compared to eternity, that's our lives, folk. That's it. We're spending all of our thought processes, all of our faith on this life, this here today, gone today. when we've got a next life that's an eternity compared to the eternity I got this, it's a mist. It's a vapor. And I'm running around with arrogant schemes thinking that I've got it down, leaving God out of my situation. I want to know God's will. I want to follow God's will. We put a lot of importance on our own plans when our life is just like a breath. It's okay to have plans. It's okay. But including God is what James is trying to get us to. Then James also touches on another condition. And that's this one. I've already alluded to it, but we'll go back here. Those who people who know to do good and don't do it. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You're not doing it. You just know. It's not even like a no-brainer. It's like, oh, I need to pray? Let me pray about praying. No, you know you should pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Right? There's a lot of things we already know. We know to do these good things, but we don't do it. Let me give you some of the things that we already know. The tall enough order, if we didn't go any deeper, for all of us that waved your hands and said, I want to know God's will, I'm about to give you a bunch of it right now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I got news for you. I don't have to have much more than those four verses. That's pretty tall. If I'm 55, I might make it to 85, 95. That's enough for the remainder of my existence if I just focus on that. I want to know God's will. There it is. I want to do God's will. I don't want to just know it. I know that. Regarding the world system, we looked at it last week. I know what God's will is. We looked at it last week. I don't want to conform to the pattern of this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then I'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. What he's saying here is, if you want to run around carrying grudges, if you want to run around mucking up the system with all your evil desires and all that stuff, not doing it God's way, I want to do it God's way and not my way. When I do things my way, I mess it up every time. I want to know what His perfect will is for my life. Paul even describes this way of the world that we should not conform to in Colossians. But then I want you to notice something. He doesn't just make it general. He gets real specific. I love it when I love to know what I need to know for the test. Like, get specific, not general. Here's what I need to know. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual impurity, immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Then he gives them another list. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. This is God's will, that we put off this stuff. Regarding our relationships with other people. Probably one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible is right here. In regards to your relationship with your wife, regards to your relationship with your boss, with your kids, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's God's will. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Here's the list again. Rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Audience participation portion. What does the last scripture say? Pop it back up there, if you wouldn't mind. What does the last scripture say God's will for us is? Thank you. Alan, be kind and compassionate. It's what it says, right? Forgiving each other, just as Christ Jesus. You know what's interesting? He throws this little phrase in there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then you think of this till right now. He throws this little phrase in there about grieving the Holy Spirit. It's like a grieving the Holy Spirit sandwich in between the things that we should. He's basically saying, if we're going to continue to do this, we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we're not going to hear the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us and guide us. So we're not even going to know God's will, much less doing God's will. So I don't want to just know it. I want to follow it. I want to do it. Paul describes a lot of things in the scriptures that are God's will here. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. This is God's will. That we keep our lives free from the love of money. The love of. Now, I know what we all know these things. These are things we know. We shouldn't follow the pattern of the world. We should listen to the Holy Spirit. We should be light. We should live differently. This is the way we should be. And James so bluntly says, and he says it right at the end there, if anyone then knows to do good, they ought to, or knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. Thank you, James, for sugarcoating it for us. I know to do it, but I'm not going to do it. It's sin. Well, there's two kinds of sins. Let me be clear about them. These two kinds of sins. First one is sin of omission. These are results of not being sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit. Not being sensitive enough to do some things that we ought to do. But we know what we ought to do, but we don't do it because we're not listening as close as we ought to. For example, the Holy Spirit might be nudging you to speak to that coworker or that family member or that friend about your story or about the love of God or maybe just open up a conversation. Maybe you're just prompted to smile at somebody and you're feeling the problem of the Holy Spirit. But we just don't do it because it wasn't, you know, they might want to talk and I was on my way to do something. We can get inconvenienced. And because of that, we do a lot of sins of omission. I don't want to be inconvenienced. And God wants us to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit so we don't miss these amazing opportunities. I am both, can I make a confession? Is it okay with you? I am what I've recently discovered, an ambivert. I never really knew what that meant. Somebody told me what it meant. So I'm equal parts extrovert and introvert. So there's times where I want to be the life of the party. There's other times I'm like, if I don't see anybody today, that'd be awesome. Anybody can relate to that? Because of that, there are days. Now, this is an example. This literally, I can't think of more than 500 times this has happened. Where I'm, you know, I see you out in the public and like, hey, what's going on? There might be other times where I'm like, cabbage is over here. Don't act like you've never done that. Because it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with me. It had everything to do with I was alive to myself and I wasn't dead to myself in that moment. Remember I talked about the fishing trip. Can't afford to unzip myself from the Christian suit. I'm Christian all the time. I can't afford to, hey, you know, that kind of compassionate thing that he said we have to be? That's only sometimes when it's convenient, right? No, it's not the case. Here's God's will for our lives. God's will for our lives is that we would be used by God. I don't want to commit a sin of omission by like, yeah, I know I should probably say hi to them, but you know, I've got places to be and things to do. Hello? Then there's sins of commission, which is a little hardcore. It's a little more where I probably fall into. These are sins that we commit when we know the will of God and we just simply choose not to do what we know we should do. We know what God's will is about prayer. Pray without ceasing. So we need to do that. We know what God's will is when it comes to assembling yourselves together with other believers. We know what God's will is for that. We know it's God's will that we would read the word. We know all these things, but there are times where I know exactly what I should be doing and I don't do it. Jonah, for example, knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He was given specific tasks to go to Nineveh and go down there. He didn't do it. He didn't want to do it. He had no desire to go do that. And didn't want to even be around those people. And God had to get his attention. You know the story. We could break out the flannel boards and we can do the little... Now, I'm going to read you a scripture right now out of Luke chapter 12, I'm sorry. And if it weren't Jesus' own words, I likely wouldn't say it this way. I'm not saying that I'm better than Jesus. I'm just saying, this is Jesus. We might want to listen to what Jesus says. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. What is he saying? We already know a ton. We already know much. And much is already required. We don't have to dig that much deeper. We already got a bunch of God's will right here in front of us. We already know what we ought to do. If we would just do that and we'll just be faithful to that, what happens is it creates a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Now God can move you to the next level. If you can't even get past square one, God wants to move you into all these other areas. He's got plans for your life. We need to take the word of God seriously. That's the bottom line, church. So much of God's will is already here. We already know it. And so what we ought to be saying in our hearts is, well, if that's God's will, I'm going to do it. And sometimes that means I don't know the next step. I just know this step. When I came to Alpine 17 years ago, okay, if that's the Lord's will, I'm going to do it. I had no idea how this was going to play out. I had ideas how I wanted it. The perfect picture guy thought the whole town would be, come to Jesus within 6 months. Because I showed up. Dun, 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 dun. I had visions. I had plans. But I didn't know what the next step. I had no idea of the mountains and the valleys. I had no idea what this journey was going to be like specifically. I had a general idea because I've been serving the Lord for a while. But specifically, gosh, this has been an amazing ride. Amazing ride. Scripture says in Psalm 143, teach me your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. What's that about? I don't want to just know your will, God, but give me the courage to take the step. I don't want to know. God, you're going to speak to me about, a number to give for the heart of the house. I don't want to just have a number in my head. I want to take a step. Lord, speak to me and help me to listen to you and follow what you say. It's about having a sincere heart. People who are most likely to do the will of God learn to think with their heart and follow God with their heart. What happens is this. We need to pray. And it's not always convenient, by the way. Jesus was an example of that. Father, he's in the garden, about to be crucified, and he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes, many times, the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you into something, and it's absolutely inconvenient. That's, I think, a lot of times why we don't want to hear the Holy Spirit. Like, can you just leave me alone for today? And he's going, nope. I want to lead you into some things. So Jesus prayed that prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus taught us to pray the exact same prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Finish it on earth as it is in heaven. We know this. So what am I saying? What did I come here this morning to tell every single one of us today? The bottom line is this. There's some stuff in the duty column that God wants me to put in the delight column by just doing his will. This is duties. I know I should read my word. I know I need to pray more. I know I should go to church. I know I should spend time in worship. I know I should serve somewhere in the church. I should find a job to participate somehow. I know I should. Duty. It's all. I know I should. I know it. But now I want to move it into delight. Because I got news for you. When you step over into the delight area, this stuff becomes contagious. Doing the will of God becomes contagious. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When that one time where you stepped up and you stepped out in your faith and you spoke to somebody and they didn't freak out. They actually didn't reject you. They went, wow, thanks for sharing that. You were like, what? That becomes very contagious. That becomes addictive. I want to be addicted to sharing my faith. I don't want to be so addicted to the will of God that all this other mess that tries to creep in, it's my own flesh, my own desires, has to shut up. There's been so many times because of my own desires and my own flesh that my senses were dull, my hearing, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. My hearing wasn't there. I wasn't listening with the Holy Spirit's hearing, if you will. And I didn't hear what God was saying. And I missed the mark. Some of you have missed it. I've been in situations where I knew I was supposed to stop and pray for somebody, and I didn't do it. Ambivert guy crept up, or got my own agenda guy crept up, or I'm late for a board meeting guy. Like a board meeting is more important than praying for somebody. Board members go, well, it's kind of important. Not more important, right? Like there's some things the Holy Spirit is going to bring into your life. It's like you, in perspective, put perspective on it. This could be someone's eternity we're talking about if you'll stop and pray with them. Or you can get to your meeting. Or I'm late for dinner. It'll wait. You got a microwave. Right? Sometimes it's inconvenient. I think that's why many times we don't want to hear the Holy Spirit. But I want to hear the voice of God. The scripture says it this way. My sheep know my voice. I don't want to just know it. I want to do what it says. I want to do what my Father is calling me to do, who's with me this morning. Would you stand with me and let me pray over us? Let me pray, and then I have one last thought to give you, and it's a pretty important one. Lord, we truly want to be sensitive to your Spirit. Lead us and guide us into the ways that you would have us. God, that's the only fruitful way, your way, not my way. Thank you, Lord God, that your ways are so much higher and your thoughts are so much higher. Now, God, help me to surrender myself and submit myself to those thoughts. I pray all these things over us as we go from this place, Lord, that we will be doers and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.